sisters of the risen Savior.
Amen.
We just thank you, Father, for this time, and we receive you. Holy Spirit, just come be with us, yes. Fill us.
Yes,
let us just soak in your word, Father, through Pastor Shirley. Bless each and every one that's here. Bless those that are on their way. And we just thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' mighty precious name. Amen.
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 Shalom. Amen.
Shalom. Peace.
All right, we'll get right started. First of all, we have our word works in Spanish. It is. So, second of all, if you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis 8:22. I'm going to read a few scriptures and then we'll get into it. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then there's one more, 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So now to go to your sheets, and you have quite a few of them. But like I say, get out your pens so that you can mark where we read, because the rest of it you can read at home. And I encourage you to read it at home. By the way, I just found out yesterday that 64% of the church is into pornography. That is a frightening thought. 60, that's almost three quarters. Okay, where to sow? Jeremiah 4:3, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Fallow ground is uncultivated ground. It's hard from walking on it, and it has to be recultivated. Then down below you say you have thorns will choke it. Mark that. Fallowed heart. Once your heart is now hard, soil must be prepared and ready all the time to plant. But so should your heart be ready to plant. On the next page. Under the plowman. Planter plows all day, takes time. He opens the ground with clods of dirt, then goes back to break it up so that the dirt is fine and he can plant. Down to number 4. This happens when a sower sows. The farmer knows when he plants. The birds eat some, and some never grows at all. Stony places, there's not a lot of dirt seeds to begin to grow, but enough soil for good roots, and when sun is up, they wither and die. The thorns grow up and choke the young plant. And good ground, well prepared, is waiting to produce. That's your heart. Go to the next page. Page 4. What are you sowing? What you do not want to sow, you don't want to lie, sow lies or discord among the brethren, or strife. And down below where it says Leviticus 19:19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with diverse seed. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and wool come upon you. So we are not to sow mingled seed. Page 5. At the top, you cannot mix two opposites together. If you are double-minded, you will receive nothing. How do you sow? The second paragraph, for our sakes. No doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and that he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. What is hope? Bible hope is your highest expectancy of your faith. Bible hope is the highest expectancy of your faith. Whatever you are expecting to believe, that is your hope. The bottom two lines, you should expect when you sow to have a harvest. You sow spiritual words and reap a harvest of victory of what you have sown. Page 6, know your need, plant a seed, find a scripture for your need and speak it. You plant it by speaking it. Speak to the mountain, believe what you say comes to pass. Have no doubt, plant specific seed for a specific need. Don't just scatter your seed. How you sow? Faith. You sow with faith in his word. Trust. You trust him to bring it to pass. Live. Makes your faith work. And you are obedient to the Lord. Page 7. Job to friends. If I have turned away from God and my heart walks after my eyes, which means I can do what I see instead of doing it God's way, or I have sinned, then let me sow and another eat. And the bottom, light, the word is light, is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in the heart. Page 8. Am I going too fast? No.
Not yet.
Okay. What are you sowing? What do you want to sow? That's what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In the right next to that, remember what you sow is what you reap. You sow to your flesh or your senses, you reap corruption. Sow to your spirit and you reap the spirit. The sower sows the word, your seed. Your seed is from your heart. Down at the bottom, seeding seed produces the word. Page 9. No name. What if I don't name my seed? How do you know your harvest? You have a bunch of seed and you just throw it like that? How do you know when it comes up or when your harvest is there? You don't know it. What did you plant? You don't know. The devil steals it. Mingled seed. You sow the word and do not seed. You do not sow. You're double-minded. Always sow your best. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow old clothes, clothes with holes, clothes with stains on them, that's what you're going to reap. If you want a good crop, you reap, you sow a good crop. Amen. And underneath that, what you are is what you reap. Don't dig up good seed because you do not see it growing. It took 4,000 years for Jesus to come. It took 25 years for Isaac to be born. But they came. But God spoke it before it happened. So it will happen as you speak it before it happens. Page 10. What if I've sown wrong seed? Judgments, walking out of love, leads to bitter root judgment. Tear up your seed. You said wrong things, get them out so they don't reap a crop of wrong stuff. And this is important. If you sow wrong seed or you don't know what you sow, tear it up. Don't let it reap a crop you don't want it to reap. Down below that is a prayer for you to say. You may say it at home. I set my will to speak words that line up with your word. I refuse to judge, criticize, and condemn anyone. I give the enemy no place to work in any situation or circumstance that concerns me. I set my will to sow pure the seed of your word in every situation, Father, giving you an avenue in which to work. And then you address Satan. Satan, I'm giving you notice right now that every word that I have spoken is giving you a place to operate is destroyed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, no evil report or wrong word will bring forth seed in my life, my spouse, my children and grandchildren, everybody concerned with what is in Jesus' name. On page 11, name your seed. It is God's nature to give. He gave his son to us that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Name your seed. Give tithe, give alms, sow and seek. And we'll address this later on in the program. The devil can control your harvest. He is standing by your field of harvest saying, this isn't yours. You didn't sow it. You don't know what you sowed. When you scattered your seed, you didn't know what you sowed. This isn't your seed. This is my seed. You can't have it. But if you know what you sowed, you can confront him and say, oh no, that is my seed. This is my harvest. Page 12. Thoughtlessness is the beginning of your loss. It can result in not being properly motivated and results in a failure to receive because you didn't name your seed. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not full with drinks. You clothe yourself, but you are not warm. He that earns wages puts them into a bag with holes. That's Haggai 1, 5, and 6. So you don't want to sow a lot by scattering your seed and not being able to collect it because you don't know where you sowed it. You have to know where you sowed it. A sinner, that's down below, a sinner is laid up for the just. God is interested in you being out of debt. If you have named your seed, the next time you pass your harvest, you can tell the devil, get off my property. That's my seed. Once you name your seed, cultivate it. Cultivation is an act of improving the land by fertilizing it. Fertilizing it is saying it and standing on it. Every time you think, feel, or exercise your will, you are sowing. Every need reproduces after his kind. You sow clothing, you get clothing. Page 13. The fifth line down. What makes the word, what makes a good soil that produces 30, 60, or 100-fold? One in which the seed doesn't fall by the wayside. It is planted in soil that is ready. Seed that doesn't get grown over with thorns and briars, but instead is a cultivated garden that seed grains strength and firmness, and roots grow deeply down into the soil and then up. As it is seed, the word of God continues to grow the problems of life. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of desires of other things. Now, there are five things that the devil will use to steal from you. And they are always the same. They are in Mark 4. The first one is affliction and persecutions. Next, we have cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts or desires of other things. Those are the five things that Satan can continually put on you to rob you of the things that you're going to get.
Would you repeat those, Pastor?
Yes, they are affliction, persecution, cares of this world, lots of other things, and deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches.
So affliction and persecution, cares of this world, deceit of riches, and lust or desire.
Lust for other things. And that's in that big paragraph that begins as its seed.
Okay, Mark 4.
Mark 4. The sower sows the word.
Selfishness.
The heart, we won't turn there because we won't have time. The heart is prepared to receive God's word.
Is that on page 13?
That's three lines below that line. The heart, you see it?
Okay.
Oh, okay. The heart is prepared to receive the word. Okay. Thank you.
Page 14. A threefold increase is 3,000%. A 60-fold is 6,000, and 100-fold is 10,000. Go to page 15. Your tithe is the first fruits and goes to your home church. Your home church is called the storehouse from which you are fed. After the tithe, then you have offerings. Now, if you don't give your tithe, you do not offer. The first fruit of everything belongs to God.
Amen.
After you give the first fruit, then everything after that you give. And you give alms of everything you have. Clothes, food, whatever. Those are alms. Now, down below is your tithe should be the first fruits. After the tithe, then offerings. Some people give everywhere. They never see God where to give. That's planting. That's scattering your seed. Sow where you get maximum results.
Okay.
And you do that by sowing into good ground. Know where you are sowing. For example, does your church tithe? Does your pastor tithe? Because a pastor should always tithe what he gives. You ask them. And if they don't believe you, exit stage right. That's it, plain and simple. Because giving, if you're giving to a dead church, you're giving to a pastor that doesn't care. He doesn't care enough. We are stewards of God's money. It all belongs to God. We don't claim it. We are responsible to handle it for God. And if you have a pastor that's saying, all you people tithe, all you people, and he doesn't tithe, there's something wrong.
That's wrong, right?
So get you a pastor that tithe, get you a church that tithes. A church that tithes will never go under.
Amen. How did you don't have a church home? So how do you tithe at that point?
If you're on the internet, you mail it to somebody that's on the internet or whatever you get. Wherever you're getting fed is where you tithe.
And the last question, So there's been like a controversy about when you tithe, you tithe from the gross or the net?
Gross. You tithe from very first, which is the gross. That's before your taxes or anything are taken out. Now, down below on page 15, down below that paragraph that says wayside, stony ground. And those are, that's just describing what wayside and stony ground is. This is where you will reap a harvest because it is the best soil. You share in all the fruits of the ministry. For example, Agape Word and Worship tithes. We tithe into probably 10 different churches or different churches all over. We share in whatever those churches give, whatever they, if they get salvation, we share in each soul saved, in each soul fed, in each soul healed. We share in that. And we as sharing, those that give into Agape share. So it's all a part of feeding and keeping on growing. If you have 5 cents, name your seed. And this is where we have missed it, church. We have encouraged our kids to give in Sunday school, but we never tell them to name their seed. They should name their seed. What are you believing for? Name your seed. Then when the devil comes, that's my seed. I planted it for such and such. It's mine.
You have something for us today that I think you are gonna.
I will.
Okay.
Later.
Name my seed. Keep track of it.
Page 61 is Psalm 41. I mean, page 16, I'm sorry, is Psalm 41. Now, in Psalm 41, these things are promised to you for giving to the poor, not tithing. Not giving alms, just giving to the poor. So you give to the poor, you sow seed. The harvest, the Lord will deliver you in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve you and keep you alive. You are blessed on this earth. The Lord does not deliver you into the will of your enemies. The Lord gives strength to you when you're weary, and the Lord will heal you. All of those things are in Psalm 41, verses 1-3. So I advise you to read them and mark them in your Bible. Alms. Everything you give is as alms, clothes, food, whatever. What about things? Clothes, furniture, and cars. Again, it's by the wayside that you give.
So that is alms.
Alms.
Clothing, furniture, car, that's alms.
Right. Go to page 17.
And an offering.
We'll touch on those.
Oh, okay. You already did. I missed it.
Go to the Lord first and ask him who you should give to and how much. We have been moved by our emotions. We have an evangelist come into town, and the evangelist will say, oh, I have a school, I have an orphanage, I have this. And we are moved by emotion. Don't be moved by your emotion. Ask God who you should give to and how much, and God will tell you. Acting on the word germinates seed. It causes it to sprout and take root. Faith in the word brings forth a crop. Don't be moved by what you see. How many of you have seen in magazines, not so much now because we don't have magazines anymore, but in magazines you've seen a child with orange hair and a bloated belly?
Right.
Don't be moved by what you see. Ask the Lord if you should give. Because when I was in Haiti, I had 100 pastors that I worked with. And I can truthfully tell you, not one was honest. All of them had their own agenda. And all of them could fly to the States to itinerate. Now, they had the money to fly from Haiti to Miami, and from Miami to Colorado, to Texas, to California. And they would all present these pictures of these bloated babies. And when they got back home, they would be paying for their own food, their own churches, and their plane fare. So that's why I say, don't be moved by your emotions. Ask God if you should give.
Well, that's great insight based on your experience and what you taught. That's great.
That's right. Great insight. And it really was an eye-opener, let me tell you. I had pastors upon me look at me right in the eye and say, sister, I don't have anybody to help me but you. And I was among many that he had. So we don't do that.
I have a thing when I go to the library or the post office, and you get all these things, you know, about this child and this child and everything. Say, oh, you know, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I claim healing for all of these children. If they are really alive and in these conditions,
right,
I pray for their healing. And I thank you in Jesus' mighty precious name.
Because, amen.
You know, like you said, and remember to be prayed one prayer.
Right. But if you ask God, God will tell you, yes, give to this evangelist. Yes, give to this one and give to that one. Because God isn't wrong. So now back to page 18. One of the beginnings of great loss, the second paragraph from the bottom. One of the beginnings of great loss is thoughtlessness. Thoughtlessness is a failure to name your seed. Thoughtlessness is when you give not motivated by God. You don't give to everyone you ask God. You are a faithful giver. You give all the time, but you don't ask God. The devil knows where you are because you are leaving him a trail. Giving thoughtlessly is like scattering seed into the wind, and Satan walks behind you, picking it up. As you scatter it, he picks it up. He plants it in his garden. Page 19. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your words determine the fruit of what you will be the partaker of. The whole kingdom of God operates on this sowing and reaping principle. Whether planted in ground or in the heart of a man, the seed grows up and becomes. Planting wrong words are contrary to the word. Cancel them and dig them up. Each time you are planting, that will determine what kind and how much fruit you will have. Fruit represents the events and future course of the nature in your life. Page 20. up the bottom of page 19. Jesus said, when a seed is planted, it grows up and lives. Pray over your seed before you plant it. Filled with faith in the word, it will be. I'm bringing in this money, thing, and time before you, Father. As I plant this seed, I speak over it. It'll multiply according to your word and bring forth the maximum harvest of my return. And I will have even more to give. After planting your seed, speak over it. Speak before you plant it. Speak while you plant it. Speak after you plant it. Call those things that be not as though they were. Don't call them the way they are. Call them as though they already were. Page 21. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a seed. Everything comes from the kingdom of God. So there is nothing that exists that doesn't come from a seed. Jesus was the greatest seed that God ever sowed. Now think about that for a minute. Hallelujah. Jesus was the greatest seed that God ever sowed. And he sowed him 2,000 years before he came. God's word is seed. When we speak the word in faith, it becomes the seed to produce what we speak. Example, when you sow financial seed in faith, speaking of the seed, your money, goods, or whatever you have sown is the husk of your words of faith of all the life of that seed. The life of that seed is spiritual. It will not die. Instead, it grows until it breaks the promise of darkness and lack.
Did God plant the seed for Jesus
and sow
the word in Genesis?
Yes. He sowed it in Genesis 3:15 when he said the seed of a woman. That was Jesus. That was the incarnation. He sowed that then, but Jesus wasn't born until the New Testament. So all those years, God kept sowing and sowing and sowing, and the devil couldn't bother it because it was God's word. And he knew that it would take effect. There are four F's to bearing fruit, page 22. The first one is stay focused on the word. If Satan can't cause you to fail, he'll cause you to focus on something else to distract you. The second one is stay fixed. Your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. It's important that you keep your heart fixed on Jesus so that you will be able to stand your ground. The third one is staying faithful. Learn to be faithful in the little things, then God can trust you with greater responsibilities. That's page 23, the top. Learn to be faithful in the little things, then God can trust you with greater responsibilities. And the fourth one, be fruitful. You may not see the fruits of your focus, fixed, and faithful living, but it will come. A fruit tree doesn't bear fruit the first year, but eventually it grows them. So your fruit will always grow. Page 24. Whatever a man sows, bad seed or good seed, bad crop or good crop, that's what he's going to get. Think about this. A kernel of wheat planted and watered can cover an entire continent. Think about that would do for the food of those that are in need of food. One kernel of food can cover an entire continent. The word planted in your spirit comes out. In Genesis 26, we have Isaac, who was going, there was famine in the land, and he was going to go to Egypt. God told him, don't go to Egypt, stay here. He planted in famine, and he reaped 100-fold in famine. You don't understand how this works? That's a line by itself above the last paragraph. I don't understand how this works. You don't have to. God is the worker of it. Page 25. You need to plant the seed. Where it says different crop, different preparations, different equipment. Do you see that halfway down? Different actions, different thinking to sow or plant to get your equipment ready. You have to use different equipment to sow it. You use different equipment to plant it. During growing, the farmer sees the harvest. He sees first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Use different equipment to harvest, and that's what he does. Why plant if you don't reap? This is the last four lines from the bottom. Why plant if you do not reap? Many Christians plant but never reap because they don't know how to reap. You have to know how to reap. Page 26. The word as seed has the potential to grow up and become a producer of much more fruit in our lives. We can choose to allow affliction, persecution, and cares of this world, deceitfulness of richness, and the lust of other things to come in and choke the word. You are the deciding factor. You can make a decision today to plant the word as seed, water it, cultivate it, and you water it by speaking over it. Cultivate it by speaking over it and give it time to grow and produce the harvest we do desire. Page 27. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? When your crop begins to come in, send forth your angels to bring it in. You don't send your angels to bring in, you send them in for. There is a difference. You send your angels out for the things for you. If you were sending them to you, you would have them only bringing things in for you. Do you understand the difference?
Can you say that again?
When you send your angels out, you are sending them out for delivering something. You don't send them to deliver it, because that would be just ministering for you, ministering to you. The ministering angels are sent to minister for you, not to you. The Bible says that in Hebrews 1:14.
They bring the word to pass.
Right. Sow abundantly, reap abundantly, sow little, reap little. Sow seed, God supplies natural and spiritual. What do you need from God? The last paragraph. Find the scripture in the word, incorruptible seed that provides what you need. Plant that seed in the garden of your heart. Water it by thinking and meditate on it. Thank God for the potential contained in each little seed, a product of the word. Every scriptural seed that brings forth an abundant harvest. Page 28. Now, this is talking about getting unequally yoked. So we're going to skip down to Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 and 3. Neither shall you make marriages with him. Your daughter you shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall you take unto your son. This is talking about believers marrying an unbelievers. No covenant with unbelievers. They will turn you away from following God. Verse 29. There is great potential in each seed. God says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We see the seed and we think one plant, one crop. God sees the continual production of that seed as long as the earth is here. In Genesis 1, when God called forth the trees and the grass, he called forth a forest of trees to keep on reproducing. He just didn't call forth one tree to produce one apple. He called forth a whole forest. One little seed from a tree is a potential to produce a tree that is 3 million times larger than that seed. And it continues to reproduce again and again and again. Every seed brings forth after its kind. Verse 30.
One question going back to the page before that. When you said, what's happening with unbelievers?
When I say what?
On page 28, when you're saying, I believe you marry an unbeliever. But what if you are already in a situation where you thought that person was a believer and found out that they were really an unbeliever, you're already married to them at that point? So what happens?
If they are an unbeliever, they lead you to believe that they are a believer.
Right. So
you look for the fruits. Always look for the fruit. And you will see the fruit in an unbeliever and the fruit in a believer.
But what I'm saying is that you've already passed that and already ended up marrying that person. What do you do then? Because you're already married to them now.
And we didn't see the fruit. We didn't see the fruit. We thought we were seeing the fruit.
We've all been there.
Yeah. So what can you do at that point? Because you're already married.
All you can do at that point is continue to sow the seed and continue to believe that they receive it. And if they don't receive it, bye-bye. As hard as it may seem, that's it.
Doesn't the scripture say that if he wants to stay, you let him stay, and your righteousness will cover him? Because eventually, I lived with an unbeliever for 40-some years. I called things which be not as though they were. I treated him as if the last, what he would look like before entering into heaven. I saw him through the eyes of faith that he was born again, spirit-filled, loving God and loving people, and working for it. That didn't happen till he was in the ICU 3 weeks before he died. But because I was faithful to love him more than I love myself, that's the important
thing. That's right. Love.
You have to love God first, and you have to love your husband more than you love yourself. Right. I always gave him the biggest piece of dessert or the steak or whatever it was. And I'll tell you the truth. I used to say to him, I will do anything that does not contradict the Lord, but it's like licking poop off your butt. And he knew that. And so he was very wise. He learned not to give me wrong orders. When I was sick with pneumonia, he said, go shovel the stove before I come home. I went out and I shoveled one shovelful. And I showed him I was obedient to his word. By showing obedience to my husband, he respected me, and I got to hear the benefits when he would talk about me in the presence of other people. And he'd say, Trudy, go get the coffee for me. I'd jump up and do it. And everybody say, let him do it yourself. I said, no, I submit to my husband. Submission is a beautiful thing. Okay. You, even if you have one-way love for 40 years, love conquers all.
Well, there's different ways of looking at that. No, I don't want to go there.
It worked for me.
And that's right. It worked for you, and praise God that it did. That's wonderful.
Yes.
But not everybody has that experience. So, you know, all right. Moving on.
Sorry.
Page 30. There's a season of sowing, a season of giving, and a season of giving, which is patience, and a season of realization, which is reaping. page 31. I'm going to bypass that page because it's just for your information what corn will produce. Page 32.
And that's important, that the top there. You plant your seed, you have to give it time,
right,
and you harvest. It's
right.
Seed, time, and harvest.
Right. So page 32. Go down, God's own son sown on the seed. Go, it spells G-O-S-P-E-L-S. God has given us everything in Jesus to be like him and has withheld nothing. Page 33. The words from our world change our world. People can be so consumed with negative words, they do not realize they have been speaking negative.
Yeah.
I'm so sick. I'm so broke.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Having a good day begins with the words that you speak.
Amen.
Your words can build up or tear down. The words can motivate you to accomplish the impossible. You know, you remember the three monkeys? See no evil, hear
no evil, speak no evil.
Uh-huh. Change your words to agree with God's words. That's the last paragraph. You will change your life. Page 34. Mary said, "So be it unto me according to your word." The word that she heard, she received. And it became flesh. So the word became flesh was Jesus, who was spoken, who was God's word spoken. She received it into her womb, and that became the baby Jesus. The earth brings forth, put in the ground is planting time. The earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Harvest is when the fruit is ripe. It's harvest time. Harvest time is always the result of seed time. Time just never happens. Page 35. Take no thought what you will eat, drink, or clothes. Then how are you going to get it? Your father knows you have needs, you sow seed. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things, God's way of doing what he does. This is page 35. How does God do what he does? Seed time and harvest. God's method of operation, seed time and harvest. God does everything, seed time and harvest. Seek ye first seed time and harvest time. Page 36. These laws are set for all time. The sower in the middle of the page. The sower, the man, sows or plants the word, telling us what he did and what we should do with the word. Just as the person who plants the seed does not understand what happens in the ground, as the days go by, neither does the person, you, who speaks the word, understand how it grows. You don't understand how a baby grows in the womb, but yet it grows. 9 months later, that baby is born. It's complete, it's perfect. But you don't understand how that happened. You were eating and sleeping, and it just happened. God caused the baby to grow. So your heart is like the natural earth that grows what is planted in it. It is the seed that produces itself when planted in the earth. A seed can't reproduce itself if it isn't planted in the earth. The word cannot produce if it isn't planted in your heart. The seed is the outer shell. It's the protector of what's inside. It's what's inside that shell that is the embryo and reproduces itself. Age 37.
You know, I had a peach that at my job, and I put it in my drawer, and I forgot about it. And months later, I was cleaning my drawer out, and this peach shriveled up to now, I still have it. It looks like a rock.
Uh-huh.
And it's how the outer skin shrunk to protect the seed.
Right.
And that's
It's the seed. It's like if you take an avocado, the skin is the outside, which everybody sees. The meat is what you take salvation, and the seed is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's true.
So we need to always protect the seed.
That's right. Always. That's why the seed is the inside.
Yeah.
The very most inside.
Yeah.
Page 37. Think about this down near the bottom. What if your words come to pass as soon as you said them? Wow. Give me a break. Blew me away. None of us would even probably be here, because we've all said things like that. You remember when the Oklahoma bombing took place? One of the favorite sayings that was in that time was, it like to blew me away. And that explosion did exactly that. It blew people away.
Yeah.
You see, the devil can take your words, even though you mean them in jest.
Come on.
And he writes them down.
That's right.
And when he writes them down, he doesn't move on them right away. He'll guard his time. You may have said things 2 or 3 years ago, and he's just waiting for you to turn up. Take Moses, for example. Moses fought strife all his life from the time he took over the Israelites. And yet when they had water, they went right back to the same thing, strife. Moses sowed that seed. He came out from the presence of God, and he was in strife himself. He said, you rebellious people, you want water? We'll give you water. That was strife. And he lost his place in heaven and on the earth because of it. Okay. 38. We're almost done, folks, with this batch. 38. What you sowed isn't the body of what it's going to be, but one kernel that is going to become what's inside the shell. The bottom line, just as you sow it, seed becomes what is inside. So do we. We are sown as a natural man inside with a spirit man inside. And when we die, we become what is inside. In verse 39, the second line, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man. The third line from the first paragraph, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your soul and your spirit are connected. Down at the bottom, what is he going to reap? What you sow is what you reap. Look at the things the Lord considers an abomination: a lying tongue, a heart that thinks wicked things, imagination equals thoughts. He that speaks lies and he that sows discord among the brethren, all these things are strife that come out of the heart. And the last line, take no thought saying, what you think is what you will say. Now, I need you to pass out these papers, Mickey.
You know, that last statement is so true. The older you get.
Yeah,
just
it's true. And you give more thought to what you're thinking, really, when you give it that. Now, these papers that Mickey's is passing out, I'm going to teach on right now, and I'll teach you a little bit while she's speaking on them. I won't touch on these papers yet, so don't touch those papers when they pass them out. You bring forth, if you don't tithe, you are robbing God.
Right.
The storehouse is the place where one receives his spiritual help. Tithe is the first fruit of everything you have. You bring the tithe into the storehouse. A farmer keeps his best seed for seeding seed. So you keep your best seed, which is God's word, and you give it forth as you sow seed. Now, when should you sow? You should sow in the morning. You should sow in the evening. You should sow all the time. Things are not going well, you sow. Things are going well, you sow, because what you need may not be today, it may need next week, you may need it tomorrow, but you need to sow for it today. You don't plant tomato seeds this morning and reap tomatoes tonight, okay? God's word is seed. You find the seed for your need, you plant it, and you give it. Now, I'm going to... Now turn to these pages. I'm going to bypass this rest here. We're going to go over this page in its entirety because I think it will open your eyes. Harvesting your crop by faith means naming it, claiming it, and praising God for your harvest. Now, study this outline, act on it, take notes, and so forth. The hundredfold return is ours. It is yours the moment you give it. It isn't when you receive it. It's the moment you give it. A man must do four things. He must decide, he must plant, he must put in the sickle, and he must stand. God does the multiplying. It's God's purpose. There's an all-sufficiency in all things. We may abound to every good work. Bread is our food. Increase of the fruits is our righteousness. Are the above things only for a special few? No, they are for everyone. And these are the scriptures where it proves it. Don't eat your seed.
Amen.
Walk in love, forgive and be quick to ask forgiveness. Walk in faith, walk in the word, get on the giving end, and then planting and receiving. God's multiplying seed is sown and he's using his divine power. We partake of that power. It will come in this lifetime. Underline that. Give thought to your ways. Page 2. Decide on an amount. Be single-minded and stick to it. Agree that it is already yours. Lay hold of it. I believe in my heart, therefore I say it with my mouth. I have it. My 100-fold return is coming to me now. Bind the devil and his forces in the name of Jesus. Loose the forces of heaven. The next page. Every seed has a God-built increase inside of it, in you, for you. He said, this is a testimony of a man who heard this testimony and he sowed 7 years. Now we're going to follow along. According to the meticulous record keeping found in this book, the farmer got hold of the scripture in John 12:24 that reads, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And the farmer asked himself, how much is much? In his curious quest to answer just how much, he performed a 7-year experiment with grain. He began with 1 cubic inch. Now, 1 cubic inch isn't very much ground. He began with 1 cubic inch. And he sowed 360 kernels of wheat in it, setting out to prove the truth of the seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. The farmer decided to take the tither very literally and demonstrate that 90% sown and tithing the 10th off the top or giving back to God's work, the first 10% would yield to a greater harvest than the 100% sown into the ground. So he decided each time he would tithe 1%. Year number one, the farmer planted 1 cubic inch, 360 seeds, in a 4-foot by 6-foot plot. He separated the seed from the grown husks, and his first harvest was 50 cubic inches of seed. He made 9 cents profit. He took out the 1 cent as a tithe and used the remaining 8 cents for seed that year. Year two, he planted 45 cubic inches of seed in a 24 by 60 plot. His seed yielded 2,494 cubic inches or 70 pounds. He made $4.64, tithed 46 cents, and used the remaining seed to replant the next year. His kernels left after the tither were documented as 881,499. In year three, he planted 63 pounds of seed, requiring a little of 3/4 of an acre to plant it. His harvest was 1,110 pounds of seed, equal to 6 bushels. His crop yielded a $64 return. He tithed 640 and used the remaining 90% as seed for the next year. Sadly, in this year, the birds and a horse ate some of the seed, and the area experienced a bad harvest year. It was estimated that this loss, especially with the devoured seed, was an approximate return of 4,375 bushels 3 years down the road, according to his total. How important and valuable every drop of seed is, and how we are robbed in harvest when no seed is sown. But doesn't God's word clearly say in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. If the farmer had stopped sowing his seed at the end of year three, he never would have seen the tremendous into his story. In year four, the farmer planted 841 pounds of seed on 14 acres. His harvest was 22,765 pounds of seed or 380 bushels. His crop yielded a $1,520 return. He tithed 10%, used the remaining 90 as seed for the next year. In year five, he planted 321 bushels of seed on 230 acres. His harvest was 5,555 bushels of seed. His crop yielded a $22,220 return. He tithed $2,220 and kept the remaining 90 as seed for the next year. By the end of the sixth year, the farmer's original seed had multiplied to 72,150 bushels of seed. His tithe on his earnings was $28,860. That left him 259,740,000 to replant. 1 cubic inch of seed turned into 155 million cubic seeds of seed. 360 kerneled became 55 billion. A little 4x8 plot had grown to 2,666 acres. So now the next page gives you a sheet to keep your tithe, Now you do not enter your tithe on this page. You do not enter your tithe. You only enter what you give. All right. Oh, I forgot one page. I'm sorry. Go back one page. That gives you a chart of what he sowed. So now go to the last page. And it gives you the date, the name of the ministry that you give into, the name of your seed, the amount that you gave, times 100, the harvest you're expecting, and when you receive it. If you keep this faithfully, you will find your what you give will grow like the farmer and his tithe. It's all up to you. You have to keep it because nobody knows what you give. But every time you give any money, mark it down in here. Keep it in your Bible. When you give, mark it down, all of these things. And then you mark when you received it. And you will find your giving will grow and grow and grow. Amen?
Yes. Did I understand you earlier today to say that we expect harvest from our tithe?
No, you don't. You don't expect it from your tithe. Okay. No, you don't. That's why I say you don't enter your tithe on that page. You only enter what you give, because your tithe doesn't belong to you. Our tithe belongs to God. And so we give it to God. So then anything after the tithe that I give, I can enter on here. And that's what you give. Now, there are some things I wanted to share with you, and I have a little bit of time yet. In Deuteronomy, Exodus 35, God is talking about tithing and giving. In Exodus 35, verse 21, and verse 5, he says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering to the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Now, shortly thereafter, in the same chapter, God talks about everybody being willing to give. There were people who sewed. There were people who sewed curtains. There were people who did woodwork. There were people who did metalwork. All the different people donated what they gave, and they were giving unto the Lord. Now, look at verse 34. Verse 31. "And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and in brass." And then it goes on to verse 34. "And he hath put his heart that he may teach both he and Aholib, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver, the cunning worker, the embroiderer in blue, the purple and scarlet and fine linen, the weaver, even of them that do any work for those that give cunningly." So now he said, we're going to build the tabernacle. We're going to build it. Everybody who has a willing heart, everybody give. Give what you can. If you can bring money, if you can bring food, if you can bring all of these things. Now, look at verse 36 and in chapter 36 and verse 3. "They received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men," now these are people that are doing the work. They're bringing free offerings in the morning. "All the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded them to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. When have you seen that happen lately? You haven't. But the people gave so much, he said, stop giving. You've given more than enough. Stop. And there's one more scripture that I wanted to give to you. And that is First Chronicles 29. Verses 14 and 16. This is David. And he says, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of thine own have we given you. He's bringing the offering to build Solomon's temple. And he's saying, who am I that I'm giving what is mine? What I've got, you've given me. So I'm just giving you back again. Yeah. This is what he's saying. I know also, my God, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy your people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto you. So we just need to see ourselves as giving. We're givers. We're givers of the tithe first. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Then we give gifts. We can give gifts to the poor. We can give gifts to the Lord, which is the sacrifices that they made in Exodus. We can give willingly to the Lord. We can give alms, and we can give different things like that. But everything we do is giving. Regardless of what you do, you give. Now, when you do give, I want to share with you, there are some things here that what stops, your increase? Lack of faith, holding on to the past, the spirit of the world, or you are unwilling to change? What stops your increase? Lack of faith? Holding on to the past? The spirit of the world? Or unwilling to change? Here are some rules for reaping. Reasons why you do not reap a harvest. Number one, do you believe in the law of sowing and reaping? If you don't believe in that law, you're not going to sow, you're not going to reap. Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given unto you. Number two, you do not reap because you have not sown. Number three, are you tired and weary of waiting? Number four, people forget where they have sown. And they just think, oh, well, God will have it come in anyway. No, he won't. Do you consider sowing a loss? Or do you consider it an investment? Sowing is an investment, your investment into the kingdom.
You know, Lord told me a long time ago, that's the greatest return on my investment.
That's right. That's right. And you see it in what this man sowed. How great his investment was. How great it was. Does a crop automatically leave the field? You have to reap it. So, are you reaping because you don't reap? Does a crop automatically leave the field? No, the farmer has to reap it. You have to reap it. Become aggressive with your giving. Become aggressive what you're claiming on this sheet. You plant it, you claim it, you say, Lord, I have planted X amount of dollars and I am believing it. I am believing for that. I have it now. Ministering angels, go forth and get it. You will not reap if you do not have faith. You'll not reap if you don't sow anything. You have to sow to reap. You will not reap if you focus on the wrong thing.
What was the second one?
The second one is you will not reap if you do not sow anything. The third thing is you will not reap if you focus on the wrong thing. You get tired of waiting for your due season. You forget where you have sown. Now I'm reminded of the ant. In Proverbs 6:6, it talks about the ant. And the ant is very much, the ant is very much like a human. Do you know that? They care for their own like our human, like we do as humans for our children. They live in a very clean environment. Their homes are clean. They build tunnels and everything. They're good masons. They're good carpenters, but they build carpenter things like that. They search for their food in season. They don't have anybody looking over them to say, you go here, you go here. They do it on their own. All of these things the ant does. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't need somebody to say, give here, plant here, do this. We don't need anybody to do that. We have us and God, and we give unto God. And when we give unto the needy or whatever, we're sowing seed. And as we sow seed, God will give us the increase. Now, you do not reap a big harvest because you don't sow into good ground. And that is a big one. You don't sow into a church that tithes, and you don't sow into you that tithe. You don't sow into a minister that tithes.
You say you do not reap a big harvest because
you don't sow a big harvest because you don't sow into good ground. You do not have enough word on the seed sown. So when you plant your seed, you speak the word over it. You sow a small crop. Why? Bugs and insects get into your crop. Now, if you're a tither, God rebukes the devourer,
Amen.
Rebukes the bugs, rebukes the insects for your sake. So if you're a tither, that doesn't apply to you. If you're not, give it some thought. Let me ask you something. What amount did you sow last year? Everybody knows how much is in their checkbook. You know, because you need to know. But what have you invested in the kingdom? What have you given to God? I don't mean tithe. I mean given. What have you given? God doesn't expect us to give everything. But God expects the wicked of the world to give their wealth to us.
Yeah.
How can you manage the things of God if you don't take care of the little things? You will not. And I have one more thing to show you here. If you don't give to God, you can't expect anything in return. Thank you. Okay. Now, tithing is made for the poor. Because if you go into the grocery store and you're poor or you're rich, you pay the same price for a loaf of bread, right? You don't get anything off because you're poor. Tithing gives you 1 cent out of every 10. Think of that. You have 9 cents here left to work with. Or tithing gives you $1 out of 10. So if you tithe, and God will always make a way for the $9 to take the place of 10. I've never seen a tither begging bread.
That's right.
They don't. They can't. You can wonder, well, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give.
Right.
So the next time you say, I can't afford to give anything, you cannot afford not to give. Because if you don't give, you are robbing God. And that is something you don't want to do. And I want to share with you Malachi 3. Malachi 3, chapter 1, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's see. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Now there it is in plain sight for you. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So, are you robbing God? Nobody knows that but you and God. But ask yourself that. And don't hesitate to give God what is his. So that's all I have for you today. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
We have to speak over our seed. So how long do we speak over the seed?
You keep speaking over them. It doesn't matter. Because you expect it. You expect it to come in that when you give. But until it comes in, you keep confessing over. Right, right. You have a question?
Yes. What did you mean by don't eat your seed?
If you ask God for $50 and $35 comes in, it isn't that God just wants you to have $35. He's giving you that $35 so you can plant it. Don't eat it.
Okay, I got it.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I remember I told you about it a few weeks ago. You know, we heard about Tom Brady and his wife. They got divorced, and there were millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. And I was thinking about it. You know, it's kind of like, because he decided to play football in the year, he retired, watching the kids. And all through that, like the Lord spoke to me, he said, when having more than enough, they had everything else. They didn't have what they needed, which was worth more than all the money in the world. And that just struck me in such a way because, yes, I know people that have everything. They're not happy. They can't buy anything that makes them super happy. You know, they have a $60 million yacht and a $20 million airplane and several multi-million dollar homes. She was worth $100 million herself. And they were worth $750 million between them. And, you know, you could go out there and really buy anything you want.
Right.
But what did they have?
Right.
The most important thing is money.
That's right. Does anybody else have any comments?
Is the all three? I'm sorry.
Oh dear, I can't hear her.
Is the offering the same as the selling of the seed? In other words, is the offering, does the tithe that goes to God, and the offering is the seed that we plant in different areas of our life? Is that what we're talking about?
The tithe always belongs to God. The tithe is God's. You can't touch it. It's in your offering that we are robbing God. And in not giving to God our tithes, we're robbing God.
So the sowing is of the offering.
Right.
Yes, I think that's what
right.
Yeah.
So did you get that?
And we should always keep up with what we're offering, with the seeds that are planted in our offering?
Yes. Your seeds are what you plant in your offering or in your alms or in your giving, but your tithe you cannot claim.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
Okay.
So if a person could there's this controversy out there about you don't have to tithe, you just bring your offering. But a person, if they bring their offering, then they're actually not sowing because they're not giving the tithe.
They're not giving their tithe. So you don't sow until you give your tithe. Now, here's something that I forgot. What if you say, I need my tithe this week? Then you have to give God more.
Double.
You have to give him more.
Right.
So is it worth it for you to keep your tithe or is it worth it to give it to you?
You know, one of the things is that in the Old Testament, the requirement was 10%. But I knew this old preacher. He says, because of the book of Hebrews, that we are to exceed what the Old Testament saints did,
right,
then we are to do more than the 10% tithe,
right,
in the giving.
Right. So, and in the book of Hebrews, and I didn't get to touch on that, but in the book of Hebrews, it compares Melchizedek
right
with Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's scripture that says, here men, the Levites, receive tithe.
Right.
there he receives them. So there's he, who's he? God. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So tithing is for the New Testament.
And we're supposed to exceed that with the Old Testament.
Right, right.
Well, even in the New Testament, Jesus said, when do you tithe?
Right.
When J.C. Penney was a young man, 12 years old or whatever, mowing grass, he learned to tithe. And he kept going above the tithe. Mm-hmm. When he got to the end, he was tithing 90%.
That's right.
And so it's been my goal to see how much I can get.
That's right.
Doing above the tithe.
Yeah. You can tithe and give 90% of your income. And praise God.
4%
Right, only 4% of the church tithes. Only 4%.
Yeah.
Sad but true. Now I want to read this to you. This is a poem.
I just wanted to ask, how do we break up the balance of our
cultivating?
How do you break up the fallow ground?
You prepare your heart for it. In other words, if you're a non-believer, you just can't not believe the word. You don't believe the word, but you prepare your heart. You plow it. You get it ready to receive it. You receive the little things of God, and you keep on preparing it and preparing it and preparing it until pretty soon you will absorb it.
God takes the stones out of our heart when we get born again. So we don't have a stone in the heart when we're born again, but we still have to plow it.
Right.
Spiritually.
Right.
And that's by believing.
Right.
That's faith.
Somebody else have a...
Ministering to a non-believer or an atheist or something, would you be breaking hollow ground as you minister and bring them to the Lord? That would start out as rocky, stony ground.
Right.
Break it down, make it find the
Lord. And you believe God for them to receive it, and they do receive it a little bit at a time. Because you can't expect a new believer or a non-believer to all of a sudden just hunger and thirst for the word, like, you know, it grows on them. Faith grows. Each man is given the measure of faith. And when you use that faith, it grows. But if you don't use it, it will never grow. So you begin to believe God for the little things, and you begin to give unto Him in the little things, and then you grow. So now I want to read to you a prayer.
Can I just ask the difference between, and I always get these mixed up, offerings and alms. Alms are clothes.
Alms are things. If you give furniture, if you give a car, if you give washing machine, okay. That's alms.
Offering is?
Money.
Money, not food.
Well, it could be money.
I mean,
it could be food. Right. All right. God's word is a seed. As believers, we are born of the incorruptible seed of God. 1 Peter 1:23. That seed has the potential to take root and grow and produce much fruit in our lives. Or we can choose to allow affliction, persecution, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things to enter in and choke the word. You and I are the deciding factors. Determine today to plant the seed of God's word. Water it, cultivate it, and give it time to grow. It needs to produce the harvest you desire. And you can say this, and will you say it with me? Father, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I praise you for imparting to my spirit. The incorruptible seed of your word. It is in me to stay.
It is in me to grow.
and produce much fruit.
I am grateful
for all that you have provided for me
in Christ.
For it is because of his sacrifice at Calvary that I have the right to live a victorious Christian life. Because I am abiding in you, and your word is abiding in me, I am growing and maturing in him. I recognize and hold fast to that which is good. I hold fast to your word in my heart. When Satan comes for the word's sake, to steal it from me, I am prepared with my full armor and the determination to enforce my position of the authority as a believer. I thank you, Father, for the seed of your word. I will do my part to continue planting it, watering it, cultivating it, and giving it the time of growth. It needs to produce the harvest that I desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I trust that you've gained something besides me reading it. And I ask your forgiveness for so many pages, but there are probably this many more that I have at home that I could have incorporated. So be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Now, does anybody, everybody